Well, good morning, everyone. I wish I could say what a lovely sunny morning. It was first thing, but we've got the rain, haven't we? But never mind, it's sunny in our hearts, so that's good. Just a couple of bits of business. If you need the toilet, if you've not been here before, it's across the road on the opposite corner of the church hall. If you're going through the top door and take the double doors to your right and follow the corridor around, you'll find the toilets. My trusty assistant at the back, Ian, will direct you if you're not sure. Fire exits, I don't think we'll have a fire, but there's the door you came through and the side door, and there is one up here as well. So all I'm going to say is welcome to all friends and new. This is my first time leading the services for the Deanery Festival, so I'm a little bit nervous, as you can imagine, but we know that God's with us in everything we do, don't we? So that's good. And it's lovely to see so many faces. And then if you can stay for lunch afterwards, there's lots of cakes, lots of sandwiches, and cups of tea. So do that. So we'll follow the order of service more or less as it's printed. We have got an enrolment this morning, which I'm chuffed to bits because it's my first enrolment as branch leader. So Ruth's going to be enrolled as a member. So we'll put that in as an extra. So welcome to our Mothers Union service. The theme for 2019 is Listen, Observe, Act in Step with God. As we meet together in fellowship, help us listen to those around us, not just with our ears, but with our hearts too. Help us to see the beauty of the world around us and the injustices too. Help us to act boldly as Jesus and his disciples did, so that others may see and feel his love and want him to be their Lord and Saviour. So let's stand. We come to glorify the Lord with open hearts and voices. We come to rejoice in God our Saviour, who has done great things for us. We come to worship our faithful. Let us praise his name together. Amen. And we're going to sing a wonderful hymn, Tell Out My Soul, the Greatness of the Lord. And during this hymn, we will receive the banners. Thank you.
Thank you.
Please sit down. None of us is perfect. We've all fallen short of God's standards. And so we need to come before God to say sorry. Let us say the confession together. Merciful and loving God, when we are ungrateful, remind us of your grace. When we are oblivious, open our eyes. When we are harsh, gentle our spirit. When we are apathetic, show us your suffering children. When we demean ourselves, whisper that we were created in your image. When we lose all hope, show us the empty tomb. So shape us and turn us around, that we will live with blessing and grace and light. Amen. May our loving Lord bless us with forgiveness and grace, that we may walk in the path of life, fully in step with God. Amen. So let's stand together to praise the Lord with a psalm. And I will say the old verses, and if you could join in with the verses in bold. Let's stand. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He set them in place for ever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the heavens and earth. He has raised up for his people a horn, praise of his saints of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. And as we remain standing, as Christians all over the world, we can say these words to affirm what we believe together, and I think it's good that we're reminded of that. So let's say together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please sit as Marjorie is going to bring us our first reading.
The reading is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 16. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Marjorie. How many times have we been asked, what's Mother's Union all about? What does Mother's Union do then? Well, Dorothy's going to remind us.
The aim and objects of the Mother's Union. The aim of the Mother's Union is the advancement of the Christian religion in the sphere of marriage and family life. The objects of the Mother's Union are to uphold Christ's teaching on the nature of marriage and to promote its wider understanding, to encourage parents to bring up their children in the faith and life of the Church, to maintain a worldwide fellowship of Christians united in prayer, worship, and service, to promote conditions in society favourable to stable family life and the protection of children, and to help those whose family life has met with adversity.
And we've got a lady in the congregation, Ruth, who's going to come out now, and she's really kept those objects most of her life, as far as I can and tell we're talking to her. And so we're going to admit her as a member of Mother's Union together. So, membership of Worldwide Mother's Union is open to all who have been baptised in the name of the Holy Trinity and who support the mission and objectives of the Mother's Union. I ask both new and present members to join in affirming their commitment to the Mother's Union. So, if you're a Mother's Union member, could you stand? Well, I think that's going to be a lot of us, isn't it? So I'm going to ask you, and Ruth as well, do you reaffirm your baptism promises?
I do,
with God's help. Will you uphold and support the mission and objectives of the Mother's Union?
I will,
with God's help. And will you continue to nurture your personal relationship with God and be committed to his family, the Church?
I will, by the grace of God.
I admit you to membership of Mother's Union, Ruth, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So, and I can't get the badge open. Oh, there we are, I've done it. I'm going to put it on. There we are. I'll put it there for now. There we are. Thank you. So let's just pray for Ruth. Lord, we thank you for Ruth's example in upholding Christian values with her family and her children and grandchildren. And we just pray that as she continues to be a member of Mother's Union, that you will be with her and all that we do and all that she does. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ruth. There we are, there's your card. And we're going to say the Mother's Union prayer together, which we always say, it's stuck on the back of the blue books, but this time it's in your order of service. So let's say together. Loving Lord, we thank you for your love so freely given to us all. We pray for families around the world. Bless the work of the Mother's Union as we seek to share your love through the encouragement, strengthening, and support of marriage and family life. Empowered by your Spirit, may we be united in prayer and worship, and in love and service, reach out as your hands across the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you may look at the next hymn and think to yourself, oh, I don't know that hymn. But it's actually to the tune of All Things Bright and Beautiful. And it was written by a member of Dorothy's daughter's church in Flitwick. And Dorothy asked the lady, could we use those words? And she said, oh yes, do feel free. So that's what we're going to do. So it's to the tune of All Things Bright and Beautiful. All our blessings, all our joys, with thankful hearts we sing. Do stand to sing.
Thank you.
please sit down as Margaret brings our second reading, chosen by Scott. Scott is our Youth and Families Minister, Scott Seawright, and he's going to be speaking to us afterwards on that reading. Thank you, Margaret.
The Bible reading is Mark 2, verses 1 to 12. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers, there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by the four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging it through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, thank you so much for reading that passage. It is really a well-known passage, but often quite a misunderstood passage. You might hear, if you are from St. Giles, I've got a little bit of a twang. That's because I'm from down south, way down south on the southern tip of Africa. A place far more south from here, though my family's originally from a place far more north of here, in Aberdeen in Scotland. But I am part of this church, and it's my privilege to bring you this passage this morning. When I was looking at a passage, I was trying to think, really, what's going to be helpful? And I've seen that the theme is listen, observe, and act in step with God. I thought, well, this passage might help us because we see God's priorities never more clearly. You also had your purpose and aims and objectives of Mother's Union read. And I spoke to Josie and said, "Well, why do you read them?" And she looked at me as if I was a little bit strange, because we need to remind ourselves of what the Mother's Union is here for. So I wanted to show you this passage this morning to show us, we that call ourselves Christians, what is our priorities? And let's take it a bit further. What is the Lord Jesus Christ's priorities, and what's God's priorities? What does he think is mankind's greatest need? And so the passage is Mark chapter 2, and you're welcome to follow if or just listen. It's on page 1003. Now, let me pray as we start. Father God, we want to be people that have your priorities. Father God, we want to be people that act in step with you. And so we want to remind ourselves this morning, what do you want us to do? Oh, Father God, we believe when your word is open, you speak by your spirit. And so we pray that we would all listen for your glory alone. Amen. Well, I wonder if you've ever gone upstairs, and I'll do this. suddenly gone upstairs to do something, and you get up there and you go, what am I doing up here? And then only to go downstairs then to remember what you went upstairs for. And so there's been a few times when my wife has said, where's my cup of tea that you went to make? I mean, oh, sorry, I got distracted. I was cleaning something or putting something away or doing saw something that needed fixing or something like that. And it's easy to get distracted. It's easy to sort of forget why we're there. And this passage might help us to understand when there's so much need in the world, why it's easy to get distracted. Yet Jesus doesn't. In fact, he does something so shocking that it stands out. And I must say, the first time I saw this passage properly taught, well, I just understood it, I was bowled over because I totally misunderstood the story. And so that's what this passage is about. We'll have a look in a moment. So I just want to read again our first few verses. Mark chapter 2, 1 to 5. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So Jesus has been using Capernaum as his base of operations. They go around, do a little bit of a journey, sharing, telling people, doing his ministry, and then they come back. And they have a rest, and then they go around again. But he's come home, and people hear about it. And so he's at someone's home, and we hear this, verse 2, so many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. So it's pretty crowded. I'm sure health and safety and fire regulations would not allow it today. And so some men came, bring to him a paralytic carried by four of them. And so we're told there's some friends. They have got a friend. They're really good friends that of a man that's paralyzed. We're not too sure if it's from the waist down or from the neck down. But you can imagine being paralyzed. Anyone that's paralyzed is an awful ordeal. But first century, no wheelchairs, no healthcare. It must have been a tremendously desperate existence. And so this man has got friends who carry him, their friend, along because they think, I've heard of Jesus. Jesus can heal him. And you can see their desperation and their commitment in verse 4. And maybe if you're a homeowner, you shudder at this. And so listen to this. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowds, they made an opening in the roof above. And Jesus, above Jesus, after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. And so maybe you're the proud homeowner. Jesus is in your home. And well, hopefully those people have taken off their sandals. I don't want them to muddy up my carpet. I'm sure someone's just spilt something. I'm sure I can sort that out. And then plaster starts dropping on your head. And someone's made a hole in the roof. Now, first century Palestine roofs would have a single floor on the ground and then stairs going up on the outside, and there was a bit of a sun deck, you could say, or to cool yourself in the afternoon. Sometimes some people slept up there. And so there was that sort of arrangement. And whether people moved logs or whatever the case, maybe it could be put back. But these people get Jesus' attention by lowering their paralyzed friend down on this mat right in front of Jesus. So there's no getting away from it. It must have stopped everyone in their tracks as they listened. And so Jesus stops, and he says this. When he sees this man laid at his feet, it says this, verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Now at this point, if I was one of the friends, I might be saying, well, he's paralyzed, Jesus. Has Jesus missed the point? Well, we see a little bit later that he knows what some teachers of the law, some learned scholars, are thinking. So it doesn't look like Jesus has missed the point. In fact, when I picture this, almost imagine a bit of a twinkle in Jesus' eye. He's always teaching. And so when he does a miracle, he's not just showing off. He wants the crowds to see something. And so he has a man that's paralyzed, that's laid at his feet. What could he be saying? your sins are forgiven, because you are in this state, because you are paralyzed because of your sin. No, that's atrocious, though it's taught in some parts of the world. He can't be saying that. What he does, we see that's not the end of the story, but there are some people's reactions. There was maybe a gasp. Because when Jesus turns around and says, your sins are forgiven, it's blasphemous. So listen to what the teachers of the law, the learned scholars, the people that know their Old Testament scriptures backwards, think. Verse 6, so now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? See, they understand something. Now, let's just say after Mother's Union, I don't know what happened, but somehow I upset Josie. I'm a bit rude or something like that. Hopefully this doesn't happen. Maybe I cut her off or maybe even I knock a cup of tea over Josie and walk off. And now Dorothy sees me, and then I sort of go around the corner and I sit down and I start to feel quite bad about the situation. And Dorothy sees me and she says, don't worry, Scott, I forgive you. I think if Josie heard that, she'd be going, excuse me? Because it is between Josie and I that I need to say sorry, need forgiveness. And if Jesus is saying, son, your sins are forgiven, he is saying he's God. Because only God can forgive sins. And so these people are totally shocked. Who does this Jesus think he is? He's saying he's God. Verse 8, immediately Jesus knew in his spirit what they were thinking. So that's how I know Jesus is not. If he knows in his spirit what they're thinking, he hasn't misunderstood the situation of a man that's paralyzed. He's teaching. I don't know what the paralyzed man is thinking at this point, or the friends who are looking down. It seems to have, the tension has gone off them. He says to them this, verse 9, which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say to a paralyzed man, you're healed? Well, it might be quite easy to say your sins are forgiven because you can't see that. You can't see that on the earth. It's something, a relationship that has been between you and God that's been separated since the beginning of time is now wiped away, and it has a perfect relationship, but you can't see that. It is quite easy to see if someone who is paralyzed and was well known in the village suddenly gets up and walks. People could see that. And so Jesus, what he does now is he heals this paralyzed man, and the paralyzed man is probably very grateful, but he just heals him to prove something. Verse 10, but that you may know the Son of Man, which is a term Jesus used of himself. It's an Old Testament term talking about God in the form of a man. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Maybe he didn't say it like that. Maybe it was, get up, take your mat, go home. But, verse 12, he got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them. This amazed everyone. So it wasn't maybe like we might have seen on TV where some of these healing crusades, and we're a little bit skeptical and wonder what's going on there. In fact, I had a friend visiting one of these mega churches that healed people and found a whole bunch of wheelchairs backstage where he discovered that people would sometimes put these things on. Actors would be jumping up out of the chairs and pretending that they were healed. Now, this man was well known in the community. It wasn't a scam. He got up and was healed instantly, but that's not the point. Everyone starts praising God because they've never seen anything like this. But Jesus has done this because he wants to show that he can forgive sins. See, when he sees the man's needs are obvious. He's paralyzed. There can seem to be nothing worse than to be paralyzed in this situation. But Jesus is like a surgeon in the A&E. Those emergency surgeons who see the ambulance bringing people and sees this patient, and has a look and sees this man has got a dislocated shoulder, he's in a lot of pain, this man is in cardiac arrest. the surgeon is going to say, let's treat this one because this one is life-threatening and immediate. And what Jesus is showing here, he's saying, the worst thing in your life could be something as tragic as being paralyzed. Jesus says, your greatest need is to have your relationship right with God, your sin forgiven. And so he goes to this man and shows everyone what is humanity's greatest need. They need to be made right with God. He sees beyond the physical need. He doesn't get distracted. And we in life can get a bit distracted by the worries of this world, what we see on the news, what we hear that's going on with our families, our children. You as Mothers Union as an organization, there's so many needs. And it might be easy to get distracted from what's the greatest need is that we can feed people and clothe people, but really we want them to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe it might be best understood this way. Imagine if we had the paralyzed man as a guest today, and the BBC found out about it, the Stoke Sentinel found out about it, and everyone knew it was the legitimate man from the Bible, and he was here speaking to you today, and cameras were flashing, and maybe someone's is interviewing him from the television, and they might have said to him, so tell us, we don't know his name, what was it like? You were paralyzed? And he might have turned around and said, look, you know, it was absolutely amazing. I went out dancing that night. It meant that I could now support have a family. I got married. I had children. I watched them grow up. I really had a good long life and died quite old. I'm really grateful to Jesus. It's wonderful. And the interviewer turns around and it's just to say that's wonderful. And he says, but you know what? I've had my sins forgiven. I've had 2,000 years in paradise with Jesus, pain-free. You can't imagine how wonderful it is. I'm so grateful that day that he forgave my sin first and then healed me. You know what? In fact, I could have stayed in that wheelchair, but knowing in the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years, I'd be with Jesus forever. And you know what? It's just the beginning. You see, that shows us Jesus' perspective as he cares about what people really need. And so we as Christians, we pray for our families. It might be that you're praying for your spouse. It might be that you're praying for your children or your grandchildren. It might be as we encounter people with needs. As much as we want their physical needs to be dealt with, we want their relationship with God to be dealt with. Not because we're better than them, but because it's a gift that's offered. Someone once said, for those Christians that are going through suffering, and this might be you, I don't know what you're going through, everyone will have a story, everyone will have a hurt. But if you're a Christian, let me say this morning, this is an encouragement. This world has to be endured. It's the worst it ever gets. This world has to be endured. It's the worst it ever gets. But Jesus says this, for those that do not have their sin forgiven, who have just not accepted the gift, this world has to be enjoyed because this is the best it will ever get. This world, for the Christian, has to be endured. It's the worst it ever gets. But this world, for those that do not find forgiveness with God, it has to be enjoyed because it gets far, far worse. And that's what keeps us going as Christian. It would be at least scandalous for us to say that in the world, and we'd be lambasted, but we didn't say it. The Lord Jesus Christ said it, and you can see his priorities here. So let's pray that we as individuals, first and foremost, that we've had that dealt with, that we've had our sin forgiven, because eternity awaits. It's got nothing to do with how good we are, but got to do with how great God's grace is. And so much so that Jesus could say to the man, your sins are forgiven, because in a few years' time, I'm going to the cross to die for you and to take the punishment that you deserve so that you can be with me in paradise for eternity. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that Jesus saw this man's greatest need and that this man is with you in heaven today. Father God, we pray that we would see people's greatest needs. There's so many distractions, so much work to be done. But help us to remember that we need to pray, we need to think, we need to act and walk in step with you as we long for a world that is dying to know your kindness so that they can be with you in eternity. And Father God, encourage us when we're suffering to endure because we know that it gets far, far better. And for those of you today that might think that this is the best it gets, help them to turn to you and say that there's forgiveness and grace and eternity and paradise by trusting in Jesus' death. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, Scott. And we're going to sing our next hymn before Ina and Clover and Barbara bring our prayers to us. And it's to still our hearts and minds, really. And the hymn is Be Still. So let's stand to sing. Please sit down as Ina and Barbara and Clover lead us in prayer.
Prayer for family life and fellowship. Father, we thank you that you have created us into families so that we may live, play, work, rejoice and grieve together. Above all, we thank you that we are able to be members of your family and members in your church. We thank you for our Christian family throughout the world. We pray that our hearts may be united in prayer so that we are able to share one another's burdens, rejoice in one another's blessings, and strengthen one another in the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen. Lord, as we bring to you our petitions, we thank you for each other and the joy of journeying together on the path you have called us to walk. We give thanks for the life and the vision of Mary Sumner and for all who have gone before, for our heritage and shared values, which unite us with members across the world. And we pray for Mothers Union office holders, both in our own diocese and around the world. Give them discernment and grace to be ever mindful of the needs of those they are called to serve. And we pray for the many Mothers Union initiatives which build and restore flourishing relationships. Equip our members as they share the love of Christ through acts of compassion and generous deeds. Lord, in your love, hear our prayer.
God, with a mother's heart, you gather us as your children. You comfort and hold us in your warm embrace. When we hurt, your arms enfold us. When we're afraid, your wings protect us. When we are hungry, you feed us with the bread of life. God, with a mother's heart, your love surrounds and supports us in good times and tough, in the midst of joy and pain, always and everywhere. You will never leave nor abandon us. God, eternal and loving one, God with a mother's heart, we thank you for this day, for being part of your family. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
And now let's say together Mary Sumner's personal prayer on the sheet. All this day, O Lord, let me touch as many lives as possible for thee. And every life I touch, do thou by thy Spirit quicken, whether through the word I speak, the prayer I breathe, or the life I live. Amen. And we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, ladies. And as our service comes to a close, we'll say the final prayer together. Father, we dedicate ourselves to serve you faithfully and to follow Jesus, to face the future with him, seeking his special purpose for our lives. Send us out to work and witness freely, gratefully, and full of hope in the power of the Holy Spirit, and for the honour and glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now, during the last hymn, we will have the banners collected. And being branch leader and putting the service together, I get the privilege of choosing the hymns, you see. And we have suggestions, but this is one of my very favourites. And I know the first time I sang it, I was just in tears all the way through, because I think the sentiment is just so wonderful, that because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Whatever happens tomorrow, I know that he's with me in everything that we do and say. So let's stand to sing. God sent his Son. They called him Jesus.
Thank you.
And do sit down. Just before we have the final blessing, I'd just like some thank yous, really. Thank you to Ian at the back, who's done the sound. So if you've been able to hear me, it's because of him. I'd just like to thank Philip, who's kindly said that he would come and play for us. He's done a great job, hasn't he? It's lovely. Thank you to our banner carriers, our readers, our prayers, and all the ladies who put in so much effort across the road to bring you a lovely lunch. So we're going to go over there in a minute. There's going to be, I'll take them off, there's going to be cakes and sandwiches and tea and coffee for everyone who wishes to stay. And there's plenty, so don't shut off if you can stay behind. And if you're quick, you might just dash miss the rain because it looks a bit ominous at the moment. So thank you to everybody who's helped take part and support me in this. And we'll say the final blessing. God, go with us on our journey of faith. Revive us when we grow weary. Direct us when we go astray. Inspire us when we lose heart. Reprove us when we turn back. Keep us travelling ever onwards, a pilgrim people, looking to Jesus Christ, who has run the race before us and who waits to welcome us home. Amen.